For any first-time visitors today? Anybody? Well, we're getting there, man. That's where we're going. That's actually the whole purpose behind this. Thanks, Chuck, for running it. Anyways, there is a first-time visitor this morning that hopefully won't be a visitor. But in the very back, a very proud grandpa, a mother and grandfather, Abraham, is here for the very first Sunday with Heather Shoemaker. So you want to welcome this awesome promise and blessing of the Lord. And she can't stop smiling, and neither can anyone around her. So that's pretty awesome. Isn't that great? Oh, and the pictures that Beth has showed me, I don't think they get much cuter than that, I'm telling you. Sorry if you got a new kid, and they're probably cute too, but you know what? Anyways, I'll say it again down the road. Okay, I want to share with you a vision we have for, we started last year with one class, and we thought we were going to keep going, and this year we have a lot better vision and a lot better structure. I think it's going to happen a lot. But we have three classes we're going to offer, midweek classes. They're going to be called Connect Groups. One of them is going to be held at our home. One's going to be held at Kenny and Kendall's home. And the other is going to be held here at the church. And so we would like to give you an opportunity. They're 6 weeks long. And in the fall, what I'm excited about, we're going to do the same three classes in the fall. So if you want to go to two of them, you can, but you can also just go to one in there. In the fall, there's also one being offered. It's not really going to be a Connect Group. It's going to be a little bit longer. But Tim and Shree have a ministry they do with marriages, and we're going to be putting that in coincide with our classes. So it'll be also a way to connect. But that will be one I'm just going to warn you up front, because I've been already hearing testimonies from them and what it's about. You're going to when they get back in town, you're just going to sign up quick, because they have to have limited space. Because if you're newly married, if you're married, it's like, I could really use some encouragement. It's an amazing testimony, some of the things they share with me. But we're going to be talking more about that one in May and June. But we'll get that going. But we're going to be offering twice a year. We're going to do it. So we're going to start with Amy. Let's start with Amy, and she's going to share about what her Connect Group is going to be and when.
I think I'm on. Wow. All right. We're so excited about this. I want to show you guys where the Connect Groups are on our website so that you can sign up for these classes, because we do have space limited for each class. I don't know how limited. I think it depends on the location. But when you're on the church website, it's real simple. You just click on that menu bar, and then you're going to go down to Equipped, because a Connect Group is equipping you. And then you're going to click on SLC Connect Groups. Everything you need is right here. This year, we're going to do a $10 individual or $15 for family fee to participate. But really what this is doing is you're able to sow into one of our babysitters' lives, because we're going to offer childcare across the board, whether you have kids or not. And we want the kids that are volunteering to do it to be really blessed and this be a ministry for them. So we're going to sow into them. So that's what that is. You can do that through PayPal. And then there's a little bit about each Bible study here on this page. So our Tuesday evening classes, like Pastor Adam mentioned, is going to be at the Varnell's home. And you can kind of get all the details from here. So it's going to be Tuesdays from 7 to 8:30. You would bring your kiddos here to church first, drop them off, and then head over for the Bible study. You can register with that black button, and that just kind of lets us know who's coming. And then there's also a place to order your book. Everybody's ordering their own materials. You're welcome to get this book from the library or online, anywhere that you normally read your book. But we did a little bit of research, and we provided a link to the cheapest option that we found. And so that's what these buttons are here. So we'll scroll down a little bit. Second class is going to be the Colliers. Also, you can register right there. It's going to be Friday evening, 7 to 8:30, and that's starting January 11th through the 15th. All these classes are just 6 weeks classes. Order your material, register there. And then our third class is hosted by SLC Kids, and Tim and Lisa Rector are going to be doing that, and our family's going to be there. And we're really excited to have it here, because we're expecting a lot of people with children here. And we're going to have door prizes in our group. I just threw that in. So, door prizes. Sign up for this class. It's going to be fabulous. And it's going to be Wednesday evenings. We tried to pick a night that maybe not so sports-oriented, because Tuesdays and Thursdays seem to be heavy sports practices. So we're going to do Wednesdays 6:45 to 8. You just bring your kids here, because the child care is going to be in the back. For all these groups, you just bring a snack to share if you want to have some munchies, and it'll be a great time. I'm going to talk a little bit about this book for just a second, and then we'll let everybody else talk about their study. If you guys have never seen Tony Evans, he is a fireball of a preacher. He's a yeller, which I'm not a yeller. You know, I'm kind of like more reserved, but I sure enjoy this man. He's got a neat ministry, and he has a really great series on raising kingdom kids. And the premise of this book is you want your children to achieve these great goals and be successful spiritually. But basically, like when I was going through the first part of the study, I loved the visual image he gave. He was talking about any great city, you see massive buildings high up. And like those are the things that you notice first. And we want our children to be these skyscraper individuals where they're reaching to the Lord and they're built high up. But then the whole point of the whole structure of a large building is that the higher up you go, the deeper you have to go first in your foundation. And it's how to lay a really strong foundation for your kids so that they can go up high. And so it's a really exciting study, and it's a video series. So we get to watch Tony Evans, and then we get to discuss it and eat food and have door prizes. I think you are all coming to this group. I can feel it. All right. You guys can't take the door prize idea.
I don't have anything better, except the Holy Spirit. Oh, sorry. But no, we chose this book and then asked Andy and Laura to help us out with it if they were like. This is a devotional-based book, so if you're not a heavy reader, you don't want to read chapters at a time, whatever. What's nice about this is you read like 2 pages a day, and then it has a one-page devotional that goes with those 2 pages a day. So it's broken down into days. In a devotional style. It has like a half an hour video also that we'll be watching that goes with it, with the teaching on it. And Amy didn't mention, but these are 6 weeks. That's it, 6 weeks in a row. So for ours, class on Friday, you come out to our house. It's out up 37 a different way. But it's called an Introduction to the Holy Spirit. And what I really like about it is he starts real basic and he moves on from there. You know, for example, if you ever called the Holy Spirit an it, well, it's not. It's a he. And Jesus is not living in your heart, but the Holy Spirit is the one dwelling in your heart. Jesus at the right hand of God the Father on the throne right now. A lot of people treat the Holy Spirit as an entity, but he's really a deity. He's all God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. The same attributes you describe God with, you can describe the Holy Spirit with. So anyway, if any of that is new to you or excited about it, Kendall's read more of the book than I have so far. I've read the first chapter. I'm getting there. I've had some other things going on. But anyway, it's really good, and it's straightforward. He gives scripture for everything. There's certain things. For example, one thing that he talks about real quick, which kind of caught my attention, I've yet to study it out, but if it catches your attention, then you study it out. But he's talking about the different attributes and how each one operates when he's talking about the Godhead, you know, the three are one. So in the beginning, he said God created. Well, God's will was the one that was being done. It was his desire to create, right? And he said that he spoke the word. Well, we know the word is Jesus Christ, and the word became flesh, and the beginning was the word. But he said the Holy Spirit was the one who was hovering, who was brooding over the waters. And the one who actually went out and did the will of God, the one who actually went out and made manifest God's word through Jesus was the Holy Spirit. And what it says in us today now, the power in us to do here on this earth, the Holy Spirit's doing the same thing. He's the one going out of us now to manifest the will of God upon this earth. So anyway, that's the Holy Spirit. That'll be on Friday nights. I don't know what the time was. You can go to the website. I encourage you to go to the website if you've never been. We have a lot of good resources out there. Click to register. Click to order. Again, child care is provided here at the church for that.
So Amy's selling point is door prizes. Kenny's is God. Wow. And if you don't like to read, by the way, you can always blame it on God. Like, I don't really like to read a lot, but I also like the Holy Spirit. Ours is going to be just Bill Johnson's Heaven on Earth. Actually, this is a great book. In this, there's 17 chapters, so you'll be reading about 3 chapters a week. That's only about 8 to 10 pages, but it also comes with the reason why you're going to see, get the 10-year anniversary one. It also has a 30-day devotional we'll be going through together. This will keep us all on the same page, going together, functioning together. It is at our house, and the reason why seating is limited is because my wife said only 6 people can come, just 6 or 8. No, she's like, our home, we have kids. And like, no, we already got all that provided. So you're all welcome. I don't know what the cutoff will be because we don't know how many we can actually seat on a serious note. But if you would just get on there and sign up, we'll keep a track on this. But this all starts on, what do we say, January 8th for ours. Okay, so this is the very first Tuesday, or actually the second Tuesday of January, second Wednesday, and the second Friday. So right in the beginning of the year, about a month away, we're going to be doing these series, and we're excited. This book is truly an amazing book if you've not read it. But Bill Johnson is the pastor, of course, out there at Bethel. Big church, prophetic church, talks a lot about the music we do. A lot of them are Bethel music. But Bill Johnson had a revelation years ago that we ought to be people who understand the kingdom of God ought to be something we manifest every day in our lives. And it talks about how miracles, signs, wonders, the presence of God ought to be flowing through us. And it shouldn't just be, we talk about the kingdom one day, but the kingdom of God is supposed to be manifested in us every day. And this is a book that talks about how we can bring heaven and invade earth in our life every day, every circumstance. So I'm excited to go through this with you guys. But and then Chuck and Diane are also going to be helping us with this, and they're going to be leading the discussions with us. So if you would like to, that's a long introduction, but I told them I really wanted to take some time on this because it's so important as a church. We don't want to be just a Sunday morning church. And Diane made a comment this week in one of our meetings, and she said, you know, and not that we don't enjoy Sunday mornings, but if Sunday morning's all you're experiencing, you're gonna miss out on a lot. And so as a church, we want to be able to offer more. And this is one of the things that we'd like to do twice a year. And, of course, throughout the year, we do different things anyways. But we encourage you, sign up and get involved in one of these classes, because not only will you be able to get involved in the classes, you'll be also getting some fellowship and food and some fun there. So, and there is the reason why they're pushing so hard is what's the prize for the person who gets the most people? Yeah, it's a competition. Well, a trip to Israel. Oh, you know what? I am no longer going to ask her any questions. I'm done. Door prizes, Israel, we're in trouble. If you have your Bibles, open up to Isaiah. Not Israel, but Isaiah. And thank you, Amy. I appreciate it so much. Israel. I don't even know where I'm at anymore. Okay. Acts chapter 9, if you're there. If you're. Isaiah chapter 9. All right. Here's something we're going to do the next couple weeks. And Kenny's been picking on me ever since I said I was going to do this a month ago. And he actually bought me one of those little Advent calendar things that have chocolates in it, just because I told him, I said we were going to do some things on Advent. My brother, who's very much more studied than I am, if you've not met him, he's not here this morning, but he's working somewhere. But he's much more studying these things. But I was talking to him a couple months ago, and he talked about their family does things more with Advent. And I go, what in the word Advent? So I started looking into it. I thought, that's pretty cool. Four pillars, 4 weeks. And so we don't have 4 weeks. We're not doing four, by the way. We're going to do two. And but I thought, what's wrong with hope and faith and love and peace? The four pillars of Advent. So I thought, you know, rather than going through a bunch of history with you, which I'm not going to do, I thought, what more exciting is it than leading up to Christmas than talking about the expectation of Christmas? So let's start with something that we talk about normally on Christmas Sunday, but we're going to use this as some encouragement for you. Let's just read verses 6 and 7. These are ones that we read for Christmas every year. So Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, and the zeal of the Lord will perform this. Jump to chapter 11. Verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor. He reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And I'm going to stop there for a minute and keep reading. If you understand biblical prophecy, One of the greatest things in the book of Isaiah prophesies about the coming of Jesus more than any other book. Here's what I want to encourage you with this morning, and we're going to spend the next couple weeks doing. The very first pillar of Advent, by the way, was one that got me most excited, and that was the pillar of hope. Because if you think about this story here, the Old Testament was full of references to the coming Messiah. So much for the Jews are still looking for the Messiah. The whole Bible, the whole Old Testament was looking for someone to come and redeem and to judge and to rule. If you look at there's going to be a government that rests upon him. He's going to be called mighty and wonderful. And the whole Old Testament is full of promises and prophecy of the coming Messiah. And all that brought hope to people in a way that nothing else can. And then Jesus comes, of course, which we'll get to in a couple weeks. And that was the fulfillment of those prophecies. And my encouragement for you this morning, and this is what I want you to leave with here in the next 15, 20, 30, whenever we get down here. I want you to leave with just one main point this morning, and that is Jesus came to bring hope to you. Nothing more. Let's just stop. I know it sounds so basic, but you know, I like what Kenny said about this book. Sometimes basic is good. Do you realize the essence of the very first Advent and also the very essence of all the Old Testament pointed to someone who is going to come and redeem us and save us? Where the first Adam failed, the second Adam would prevail. Where the first Adam was succumbed to temptation, the second Adam overcame it, which we talked even about last week, and living in a place of victory. And in that place of victory, we have been given now that same victory. We ought to have a hope in us that the world does not have. And we ought to be spreading that hope around that in the next 2 to 3 weeks, 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to be having our Christmas program. We're only 2 weeks away from Christmas. And what joy and what hope can we bring in the next 2 weeks to everyone you encounter? Wouldn't it be awesome if we were the prophetic voice? We were the voice that brought hope to people, showing them, guess what? It might have been 2,000 years ago, but in 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate the coming of promise, the coming of fulfilled prophecy, the coming of hope, the coming of joy, the coming of the Prince of Peace. And this is who we have to serve and to worship on a regular basis. And that ought to bring hope not only in your life, but we ought to be hope dealers. We ought to be dealing out hope everywhere we go to give people something more than what they're wishing for. You know, we're around people that are so much in despair. And, you know, the holidays, I said this last week, we talk about Christmas and New Year's. There's a lot of loss and a lot of hardships that happen around this time of year. Why don't we become today, decree in your life that I'm going to be somebody, I'm only asking for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Lord, show me every day where I can bring hope to somebody who's in a hopeless situation. Because Jesus came to fulfill hope. People had hope and expectation that a Messiah was going to come and they were going to redeem them from this curse, redeem them from sickness, redeem them from poverty and all the hopeless situations that we encounter on a regular basis. We have someone who said he would redeem us and it'd be a government. I would love to just preach those verses so much because there's so much in that that I just can't even, that's why I read them and stopped, because chapter 11 alone, there's like four sermons just in the structure of the government that he'll run. And this is something, by the way, when you read about what rests upon him, let's read verse 2 in chapter 11. Let's read this, and now let's put this upon you. Because remember, when Jesus came, he gave us, so it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon you. This is what he did for Jesus, but now this is what he's doing for us. He is resting upon us. He is dwelling inside of us, which is a good promo for this Holy Spirit class coming up, right? The Holy Spirit's in you. And what does he do? He gives you a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. This ought to be something that when you lack these areas, you can ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and understanding. You can ask him to give you knowledge because he is resting upon you to go and do these things through you. This is what he did for Jesus, and this is the hope that we have. He does it for us today. And the fulfilled promise that we have today is that we have a Savior who came to redeem us, to buy us back, and to give us hope. Now let's jump down here because I want to give you some New Testaments. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's go there for a second. getting there. Here we go. So this is something that is just, I want to bring hope to people. And I'm going to pray for you in just a second when I'm done here. I want to pray that this season, that even though we did a class back in January and we talked about prophecy a lot over the years, imagine if people are lacking hope. If you ask the Holy Spirit to bring hope to people around you, you could become the very sound of the prophetic voice that we need to become as a church. One of the things that really bothers me about the prophetic is it seems to be judged as hokey and weird and everything else. There's a big difference, and this is just such bad teaching in this area. Do you know that when someone calls you out and reads your mail, do you know that's most of the time it's not prophecy, that's just a word of knowledge? It's not prophecy. It's a word of knowledge. If someone calls you up and goes, hey, I can tell you're going through something, that's not them prophesying over you. That's them having a word of knowledge about something you're going through. And the thing is that because the church gets so moved by words of knowledge, I mean, let's be real. Does the devil know what you're going through? Mm-hmm. And I've been through a lot of church services where it gets real hokey because people start calling out all, and I'm thinking, at the end of the service, I want to sit there and go, hey, where's the hope? You called out everything that everyone's going through in their life. The devil could do that. Where's the hope? The hope comes from spirit-filled folks who want to walk in a spirit of prophecy, who not just addresses the situation they're in, but shows them the future where they're going. Prophecy ought to be something that builds you to a place like they did. I'm drawing this. It's a thin stretch, but I'm going to stretch it good. Just like what they did through the whole Old Testament, prophecy pointed them to hope. Prophecy pointed them to a place where they can go and realize somewhere, somehow, this situation will turn. In this case, they're looking for a man, the second Adam, Jesus, the Messiah, who would come and bring hope to and a deliverance to everything in their life. And this is the prayer that we have now as Christians in the new covenant. Jesus has come, and now the Holy Spirit is inside of each one of us. God himself dwells in me. And why in the world would the God in me not want to bring hope to the people around me? This is what Christmas ought to be. It's a coming of a Messiah. It's a coming of hope. It's a fulfillment of promise. There are people in this room, and I don't want to raise your hands because I don't want to get there, that have had prophecy over them. Some of it, by the way, I look at it and go, wow. I hear some people go, and they just read their mail, give them a word. And listen, prophecy ought to be something that encourages you. We'll get to it in a minute. And it ought to be something that you has a goal out there to fulfill in your life. It ought to be something that's so powerful in your life, it drives you to a place of hope. So let's do that right here. This is what we need to become. I've read this scripture for so many years, but let's do it again. Chapter 14, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after love. Now, let me get in context real quick because I don't like to break context. So if we're going to go to chapter 14, we'll probably go back to chapter 12, and I'm going to give you a summary of chapter 12. Chapter 12 talks about how it's not good for us to walk in as mere mortal men, but we ought to be living in the gifting, the manifestation of the Spirit. Nowhere in chapter 12 does it say that, if you go look through the first few verses, it says, and here are the manifestation of the Spirit. Those attributes in chapter 12, those nine attributes are attributes of the Holy Spirit inside of you. That means every single believer can operate in all of those things. It's not just one thing because you're special. I have the gift of miracles in me. Oh, no, you all do. Miracles ought to flow. These signs shall follow all those that believe. It didn't have a little qualifier with an asterisk on the bottom, especially if you're a preacher or if you're this person. No, all is all. These signs shall follow all those that believe. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12 starts dealing with how the Holy Spirit wants to manifest through each and every single one of us. Then he goes on and talks about the structure of the body of Christ, how we must be united, and how the eye can't save the ear. We don't need you. We need each other. You're going to be different than me. People always say that I must be the mouth of the body. I understand I got a big one. But you know what? We need the mouth too. But we need ears. We need eyes. We need people who know and can sense the things that are over here. And one that makes a great team around me, when we get together on Tuesdays and we talk with staff and we pray and we talk with Diane and bring them, we all have a different perspective and we all are hearing and seeing something different, which it makes us more effective. And that's what chapter 12 deals. And it talks about how the spiritual manifestation ought to be inside everyone's, but we also must do it in unity. Unity with one another. And then it talks about, later on, down near verse 35, that each person has been set in the body as God chooses. You know, I say, I didn't choose, you know, I'm in Martinsville, Indiana. You know, I was talking to a guy, actually, for many of you guys, is a former Colts player, and he's one of Alyssa's father's friends, and he will be coming, I've invited him to come speak at the church. He was a running back for IU, so you IU fans will like him. But anyways, I was talking the other day, he goes, how in the world, and he's by the way, he's colored, so he goes, how'd you get in Martinsville? I go, well, because I drove by there a lot in my days of playing at IU. And I said, well, you know, I don't know. 21 years ago, I was at a bookstore, and somebody asked me to come down to Martinsville, and I had to get a map to find it. I had no idea, and now 21 plus years later, I'm here because God set me here. I could have chosen a lot of places in the world in Martinsville. Those that knew me 21 years ago, you can go, there's one quote I told you more. Let's get this church going. In about 2 to 3 years, I can get out of here and find my next goal in life. And so now we're 21 years later, and I'm still here. You remember me saying that. I will get here. I think it's because she prayed and said, my daughter ain't going nowhere. So either way, we're not sure, but we're still here. And you know what? I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. This is so home to me. This is my family. I love this place. I love Martinsville, Indiana. That sounds weird coming out of my mouth. I mean, I love this place because it's where God put me. I love Spirit Life Church because it's where God has me here. I love this place. I love my job. You know, and so when you start speaking that out of your mouths, you will see a difference in your life. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my husband. Whatever it's going to be. When you start declaring that you love what God loves, God sets you in that marriage. God sets you in this church. God sets you in this city. God sets you at your job. And when God sets you somewhere, he is finding pleasure in that, and he wants you to find the same pleasure in it. If you don't have pleasure in what you're doing, then you know what? Maybe it's time for you to go, God, you set me here. Let me change my heart so I can walk in the fullness of what you called me in. Amen? So this is a good word in 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm just going to overcome. And then it ends the chapter with talking about those different callings and different oversight, but God wants to work his spirit through all of us. Then chapter 13 jumps, it seems to be so out of context, but it wasn't. It was this, if you speak in tongues, you just got talking about how everyone has the ability to speak in tongues. So chapter 13, verse 1 says, if I speak in tongues of men or of angels, or no matter what type of, but if I don't do it in love, I'm like a clanging cymbal, making a loud noise and being ineffective. So if you're walking in the Spirit and you're operating in the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, you must learn to do it in love. And then it goes and gives you the most beautiful wedding. Oh, it is every wedding does. Love is patient. Love is, and it describes love in such a way, but it's not talking about just your relationship. It's describing who God is and how he wants you to manifest love to the ministry of what you have. This wasn't even relational yet. You can apply it to it. Go ahead, because it still defines what love is. But this is what believers must do. We must be spirit-filled and walking it out in love, which I guess we're going to get to in a couple weeks, next week anyways. And after we talk about all these things in love, he says in verse 14, or chapter 14, verse 1, that's a lot of overview, wasn't it? That's good. But that's okay. I just preached you chapters 12 and 13 in like 4 minutes. That's good. Follow after love. You have to still do it in love. And desire spiritual gifts. But rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but unto God. For no man understands how be it that the Spirit himself speaks mysteries. Now let me define this for you. I could get up here this morning and go, okay, I need to start praying in my prayer language. I need to start speaking in tongues. But this scripture just, it's not going to profit you. I'm doing this to God. I'm not doing it to man. Because the next verse goes, but he that prophesies speaks to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks an unknown tongue edifies himself. Jude 20 says, building yourself up in the most holy of faith, pray in the Holy Ghost. So we understand that the prayer language you have that God has given us is to build you up, to strengthen you so you can overcome. You see this? but you're doing it to build you up so you can do something with it. One of my biggest gripes with the charismatic and Pentecostal movement is that we become so spirit-filled, you can build yourself up, and I'm going to put a little pin in your balloon, you explode, but what are you going to do with it? Build. Me, me, me. No, it's supposed to be build me up so I can go forth in love and operating in the gifts of the Spirit to manifest that love to people around me and give them hope. This is the point of all the gifts and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit inside of us is so we can give others the hope they need. He that speaks, verse 4, an unknown tongue edifies us, but he that prophesies edifies, builds up the church. I wish that all of you spoke in tongues, but rather you prophesy, for greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interprets that the church may receive edifying. Now, what is that saying? Paul says this, I pray, I wish all of you would speak in tongues, but in the church, you better get a revelation of what you're saying, an interpretation of that tongue. Because that's how we're going to build the church up. This morning, my main encouragement is that we talk about the first advent of being hope. Hope was brought to every single Old Testament person before Christ by leading them somewhere they've not been before. Because of prophecy, these people had hope. Tie it together. Because the prophetic word went forth through the prophets of old, pointing to a coming Messiah, it brought every single person a hope that they could not diminish. They always knew that there is a Messiah coming. There's a Messiah coming. And it brought them a place where they had hope so they could keep living. And what more today? The Messiah has come. The Spirit of God is here. And how much more should we be bringing people hope? Not that he's going to come, but the Messiah had come. And I'm prophesying to you today that I want to encourage you. I want to build you up. I want to strengthen you. I want to lift those arms that are feeble. I want to let you know there's a God who can bring you hope today. And that's the hope that we have. And so when we start trying to encourage people, I got one more verse here. And of course, it's going to be the one that I, Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says this, now the God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in faith, it says. That, because the word believing in the New Testament, the second pillar of Advent is faith. And I thought, well, as much as you guys hear about faith, we're going to go ahead and just go and keep that one quick today. Now may the God of what? Hope. Fill you with joy and peace in faith. That word believing in the Greek is this word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. It's the same exact word they use for faith throughout the whole New Testament. So when you look at the word, we believe, or we believe and receive, it's the same word. To believe means to have faith. So it says, now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in faith, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't preach that any better, can you? I mean, that doesn't even, you can't reword that and make it better. The God of hope that we're talking about this morning will fill you with joy and peace. Why? Because when you're operating in joy and peace, in faith, in a God, full of the Holy Ghost, so you can bring hope to everyone around you. That's my encouragement for you this morning. I want to be a spirit-filled church. I want to be a voice of the prophetic in such a way that I'm going to ask you to do something crazy. I've said this before, I'll say it again. There is something called the office of a prophet, okay? There is one. And I've met a few in my life, and I love them and respect them. But nowhere in Scripture does it say that the only people who prophesy are prophets. It actually says we all should prophesy. Every single one of you has the ability inside of you by the Spirit of God to speak encouragement, exhortation, and building people up around you. You can edify them. And when you learn that this is something we ought to be doing, imagine the next 2 weeks, Remember, I'm just giving you a two-week assignment. That's it. And every single morning, you wake up and you ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me, speak to me a word that will change somebody else's life today. You know what's really funny about this? You're going to find out you have more hope, you have more joy, you have more peace in your life because you're not focusing on your own stinking problems. Think about it. When you're walking around like this, looking to give out hope to somebody, looking to give out encouragement to people, you stop worrying about what you're going through. This is what they did when Jesus came. There's a, hey, there's a Messiah coming. There's a Messiah coming. And they're waiting with earnest expectation for Messiah to come and meet their needs. Now, today, we are people full of hope and anticipation and expectation that we're going to run to somebody every, and I guarantee you, I won't quite say thus saith the Lord because I don't ever do that. But if you go around looking to release the presence and the manifestation of the Spirit of God inside of you, you will find somebody every single day that needs it. But you got to stop doing this and do this. Navel-gazing, woe is me, my life sucks, excuse me, all this stuff, we don't got time for that. Hey, you know what? We all got some problems every once in a while. They come our way. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus says, I overcame the world. The world that brought you problems, I already came that. Why don't you focus on me and I'll give you that overcoming nature that is inside of Jesus so you can live a life. And how do you overcome? Do what Jesus did. He poured out his life to everyone around him. My encouragement, whether it's family, friends, whether it's coworkers, whether it's someone at Walmart, I don't care where it is, walking down the street, ask the Holy Spirit this week, today, and every day, Lord, where can I bring hope that there's a Messiah who came that will give them a change in their life? And it might sound corny to you. You know, one of the things that I had to be careful of when I started talking about prophecy years ago was I realized that a prophetic word to somebody might be corny and so simple, and you don't even say it because you think it's so simple. But maybe simple is all they needed that day. Maybe simple is what would have related to them. Maybe they didn't need something that was so complex about their future and about what color of hair their kids will have. It's cool. I've been around it, and I've seen it happen. I've been around prophetic meetings for 20-something years, and I've watched people call them out, and I'll never forget the prophet call out exactly what the color of their dining room looked like. I'm thinking, I've been to their home. He hasn't. How does he know that? But you know what? That doesn't mean a hill of beans if the part of the prophecy doesn't come true. That was just a word of knowledge. We get so moved and so, they read my mail. Well, that's good. They must have been near your mailbox. But guess what? What's more powerful is when they tell you what you're going to be, what God has for you. And now, when you leave, did you get encouraged? If you got encouraged because someone knew what color your walls were at your house, man, you need some encouragement. You need some new encouragement. That can be painted, by the way. But you know what? When someone knows the calling and the hope that you have inside of you that only God knows, over the years when I've had a chance to minister to people, and I love the greatest feedback someone can ever give me was, how did you know that? I go, because I was praying about it. That's the greatest feedback someone can give you. How did you know that? And the answer is always the same. I didn't. But I was praying for you, and the Lord wanted me to share this with you. Folks, I want you to get that same. How did you know that? How did you know I need that today? And that will not only encourage them, but you know who's going to walk away really encouraged? You. You're going, oh, my goodness, the Holy Spirit just spoke through me. So no matter how big, no matter how small it is, I want to be someone this season. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit about the rest of the other four. But I wasn't going to do 4 weeks because liturgy is not my strong suit. History is something that I'm working on. But as Kenny tried to mock me, doing all 4 weeks, look at this, Kenny. I'm compromising here. But this is something I did want. And the reason I do is because a lot of times we get to Christmas weekend and it becomes some service that we throw together, which is good. We have our children's play and it was such a great weekend. But did we ever focus on the power of why Jesus came? And so, yes, I'm going to spend this whole month, the next 2 weeks, talking about the birth of Jesus and what it means to us. Today, it means hope. It gives you a place where you can have hope, but you can give others the hope that you have inside of you. So I'm going to pray a blessing over you. And if you want, we'll just have some music in the background from CDs this morning. I just want to pray. And then, I just want to pray a blessing over you. So let's just stand. Let's close in prayer. And then if you'd like some prayer afterwards, we're going to be here for you too. Okay. Father, I thank you right now that you are the God of hope, that you want to fill us with your joy and peace inside of us in faith, believing that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can bring hope to those around us. I pray first and foremost for everyone in this room where they need hope right now. We sing that song, every hope, when you walk in the room, every hopeless situation ceases to exist. So Lord, I thank you right now. The only way hopelessness is going to cease is if we get our eyes on the God of hope today. If you're going through a battle in your life, that you can't seem to see a way out. If you're going through a personal struggle right now that it seems to be, you don't want to talk about it, but you know it's eating you on the inside. The God of hope will fill you with all joy and peace as you have faith in him. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you will receive your hope today. So today I ask right now for an infusion, a fresh baptism of your spirit over us today, that hope gets alive in me. For some of you, you just feel so hopeless. Today, I ask for the blinders and the glasses that are shading you from seeing your future and your vision for God would be just removed, and you would see the hope in which God has for you. I ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would pour out your love over your sons and your daughters in this room today in a mighty way, that we would know the hope that we have is the love that our Father has for us. You love us despite of our weakness. You love us despite of our failures. You love us in spite of all these things. Your love for us is so awesome that we can be ambassadors of your love to others. We can live a life of loving you and loving others because you've given us that hope back. And so now I pray, I want you to receive this blessing right now. By the power of the Holy Ghost inside of every one of you, I release to you an activation code to walk in the prophetic, to walk in a place of giving out hope to everyone that you encounter. And I just challenge right now in the spirit that we would just, Lord, grab a hold of these things, that we can become ambassadors of hope through giving people hope by your spirit. We release the spirit of prophecy over every single person in this room. Every person can walk out of here knowing they can hear from you and minister to others just by bringing them a word of hope and encouragement in a very timely season. Someone needs to hear what you have to say. And so we speak a blessing over everyone in this room today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, now go out and be hope dealers. Hope dealers. Deal hope. Amen. That's it. Deal hope, not drugs. Sorry. It's bad.